to Luke chapter 19. Title of the message today is The Son of Man is Come. The Son of Man has come. Now, you know, we are in the time of year where we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the birth of our Savior. I would suggest to you that you not limit your celebration in life to one day of the year to think about how wonderful Christ is. I would suggest that you remember this and celebrate throughout the year. Nothing says you have to celebrate only on December 25th or whatever the date is. It doesn't matter if he was born on May 1st. It doesn't matter if he was when. It doesn't matter when he was born. Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. The fact is, he was born, he is alive, he came, he lived a sinless, spotless life, he died for our sins, he rose up from the dead, he's alive forevermore, we've received him in our hearts, and we are born again. Amen. Don't split hairs and say, well, he wasn't born on the 25th. We know he wasn't born on the 25th of December, it doesn't line up, but the fact is, this is when, in America here, we celebrate his birth. Again, I would suggest to you that you celebrate his birth more than just once in a while. Or once a year, okay? In Luke chapter 19, we'll begin reading there in verse number 1. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured. Isn't that just like people? If he knew who that was, you know, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So our foundation, obviously, is verse 10 for this message. And as I look at this and I think about the scene, the first verse of chapter 19 of Luke's gospel here reads, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. It's interesting. Jericho was the first city that Israel entered into when they crossed in over into the Promised Land. Do you remember that? Okay. Jericho was the walled city. They were told to go in. And the Lord would give them what they had needed. But the first things that they collected, they were to not take unto themselves. And so when they crossed over Jericho, they weren't supposed to keep any of the things. And you remember that some of them, at least one of them did. You remember? Kept back the wedge of gold. Okay, so there, Jericho represents... That was at IE. But they were told not to touch the stuff in Jericho, okay? And Jericho represents the tithe. Jericho represents the tithe. Just as you have a type of the tithe back in the book of Genesis in the beginning, they could eat of any fruit of any tree, but not that fruit. And so the Lord is bringing that out for a reason. Because some things are holy to him. And God doesn't bless us when we ignore his law, his word. You say, well, now we're not under law. I understand that. But the word applies. And commands apply. Now, again, whether you tithe here or you give somewhere else, that's none really of my business. But that you're obedient to the Lord is the key. So they were told not to touch anything in Jericho. They went into Jericho. That was the first city. So here is Christ giving his first and foremost reason for coming into the earth. And I think this is interesting here, where he said the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In Ezekiel chapter 34, what you can do is just hold your finger here and go to Ezekiel 34. And I want to read you verses 11 and 12. What you need to understand about the Old Testament scriptures, they are types of which something in the New Testament will be the anti-type or the fulfillment. So when you read the Old Testament, if you don't read it with that understanding, you're liable to become somebody who thinks they have to do everything that's in the Old Testament, and that's not true. Now, you need to live according to the Word, and the Word is right, but there were some things, particularly under the law, that you don't have to do. So stop and think about it for a minute. Do I need to bring an animal and sacrifice it? No. Why? Christ was sacrificed for us. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Do I have to, you know, bring in the various offerings to the Lord in grain or whatever it may be, our flocks again? Do I have to do that? No. Do I have to wash a certain number of times? Now, trust me, you should wash. Amen. But no, you don't have to dip before you can come into to church. Dip yourself into water before you can come in and worship. No. So there are types in the Old Testament, and the anti-types are the fulfillments in the New. So you must always read your Bibles with that in mind. Okay? Praise God. Ezekiel chapter 34, look at verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I even I will both search my sheep and seek them out. Here's an Old Testament verse Ezekiel is saying, thus saith the Lord God. Verse 12. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. So that's the Old Testament verse. Jesus is speaking, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Notice he called himself the Son of Man. Okay? He is quoting in the first person. He's saying that he is the Son of Man and he came to do exactly what Ezekiel said, thus saith the Lord. Do you see that? Do you see it? Two people, three, four people saw it. Okay, look, that's what, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Jesus is saying, in an evasive way, but an obvious way to those that knew their Bibles, knew the Old Testament, knew the law and the prophets, knew exactly that he was quoting in the first person saying, I'm come, the Son of Man, to seek and to save that which was lost, which says, this is God talking. This is God in the flesh talking. Do you see that? God in the flesh. When he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega in the book of Revelation, that is a quote out of the book of Isaiah. I am the first and the last. Thus saith the Lord, I am the first and the last. So one of the keys in finding places where the deity of Christ is being brought into the open, either in an obvious or kind of not as obvious way, or find the places where Christ is speaking as God in the flesh when he's saying something in the first person that in the Old Testament was quoted, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Okay? That's important. That goes right over the top of a lot of believers' heads. They never look for the types in the Old. This is all type. It's all type. The old covenant ended when Jesus rose up from the dead. He was the fulfillment of all of the messianic promises. He was the fulfillment of everything that we see in the old. And so in the new, we have the new covenant. And it's not based on whether or not you can bring your lamb into the place. I mean, we'd have a mess here. Who's going to kill all those lambs, you know? What are you going to do with them then? Well, you know, no. That's not what it's talking about. Christ is the Lamb. So when you and I receive him in our hearts, then it's counted us as righteousness. In the old, they had to do certain things. The New Testament word for covenant means it's a done deal, a package deal that happened between Jesus Christ and the Father God. And you and I just can say, I believe in him. And when we do, we are brought into that covenant. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So Jesus had just entered into Jericho. He was on the outskirts. He was passing through. He was heading to Jerusalem back in Luke chapter 19. So if you want to go back there, do that. Now, if you'll notice, in verse 7, this is where the people murmured. You know, it's funny that when I read this, John Favalora is the one that said it to me. But we had put some casters on the pulpit over there in the WFC. We had a pulpit, the wood pulpit, and it's in fact still on those casters. And the casters are a little bit bigger. So that pulpit was tall anyway. And when you put the casters on it, it's about up to here on me. Well, John was going to speak one Wednesday night, and we had just done that and didn't really think about doing it. And John is not as tall as I am, but he stood up there, and it was like he could barely see over the top of that pulpit. And he started, some of you remember that, he started laughing. I feel like Zacchaeus, you know. I was like, John. John is a really good man and a good minister of the gospel to boot. Praise God. Love him dearly. But in verse 7, look at this. It says, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Isn't that just like the religious crowd? They didn't understand. And I'll tell you another thing, they still don't today. They don't understand the mercy and compassion of the Lord. He had compassion on this man who obviously was doing some things that weren't right. Those things were not right because immediately he's feeling this guilt and he's, I'll restore everything I've done even fourfold. And Jesus, I can just see Jesus kind of laughing when he said it. this day salvation's come to this house. It's obvious he's wanting to give money back. He's wanting to give stuff back. But here is where he makes this statement that the Son of Man's come to seek and to save that which was lost. What was he saying? Well, he's saying that Zacchaeus was lost. Amen. Y'all there to go home? We're here. All right. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6, and that is part of the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, look at verse number 6. I tell you, when you read the Beatitudes, you say, well, they are Beatitudes, attitudes that should be in our lives. Yeah, that's an easy way to remember it. But the attitudes are really a description of the type of people or the kind of people who make up the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven here in this earth. And you say, what do you mean the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven? Well, you and I literally become that kingdom, it's chapter 5, we literally become that kingdom here in the earth. The king is king over his kingdom. Who's he king over today? Is he your king? If he's your king, you are literally, in many respects, you become the kingdom of God here in this earth. It's a Hebraic concept, but that's what Jesus was talking about when he said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's talking about the breaking forth of the kingdom into the earth. The kingdom. Where is the kingdom of God? The Bible says, Jesus himself said where the kingdom of God is. The kingdom is in you. It's in you. King is king over his kingdom. Is he your king today? If he's your king, Terry, then you become that kingdom, a visual representation of, as an ambassador, not Jesus himself, but as an ambassador with the covenant in his or her heart, the word on your lips, the name of Jesus. And people should see Christ in us. They should see Jesus in you. Amen? Amen. Amen. You become the kingdom. That's literally what that's saying. Thank you, Lord. So, the kingdom is in you. The kingdom lives in us, and we are then visual representations. Father, in the name of Jesus, somebody needs help right now. And we speak peace over this situation. And we call for angels in Jesus' name, according to Hebrews 1, verse 14, garrison round about that emergency vehicle. And whoever's in need right now, we speak health over them, recovery, peace over the situation. And thank you that the emergency workers know what to do. In Jesus' name, peace in Jesus' name. Come on, y'all agree with that? Say amen. Amen. Something that you need to do. And anytime you hear a siren, remember, they're not going to a picnic. They're going to help somebody who's in trouble. So this in Matthew chapter 5, look at verse number 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, this beatitude, like others, characterizes this kingdom man or woman who above all else wants to see God rule in the hearts of others, not only in his or her heart, but in the hearts of others. And that should be our attitude. Blessed are they, or happy are they, which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, I'm hungering and thirsting after that in my life, that walk between me and the Lord in my life, but I also want it for you. Do you want it for you? And if you want it for you, do you want it for others? You should. It's not us four no more. It's not our little club we've got here. And maybe we'll let you in. And if you don't dress or drive like we do, then you might as well go find another church. Ooh, what would you think of that? Come on, give me your opinion. Thumbs up, thumbs down. What kind of garbage goes on in churches? You will never hear that here. I don't care if you don't own a car. I don't care where you live. I want you to be blessed. Don't get me wrong. But it's not about whether you have it all or you don't. I've had people come in that had a bunch and were some of the snottiest people that you will ever meet in your life, who call themselves spirit-filled Christians. And I can't say they're not. They are. But you start to wonder after a while, what are they really seeking after? Are they seeking first the kingdom, or is it all about what they can possess and all that they can have? So don't turn into an individual that looks at somebody that's blessed and say that's all they're about. You're wrong. Not everybody who has stuff is about stuff. When you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what happens? All the things these greedy folk are after are given to the ones who are seeking first the kingdom. And then suddenly it turns into, oh my goodness, you can actually live for the Lord, love God, seek the face of the Lord, and God will pour out his favor and his blessings upon you. Who's highly favored, blessed, and highly favored among men? Who is it? You in the red shirt in the back row. And the rest of you, praise God, the favor of God is on our lives, amen? Amen. And he wants to bless you, just don't take those blessings to heart like, oh, now I got it. That's a fool does that. The Lord is not against you prospering or having a lot of money or possessions. He's not against that. He's against those possessions possessing you. And if you have a lot, stay humble. Stay humble about it. Be a normal person. Don't get your nose jacked up in the air thinking you're better than somebody because you have a nicer car than they have. And I say that I have a nice car. I have a few nice cars, but it doesn't matter. It's okay to have nice things. Just don't let the nice things have you. We've got some of you in this church that just got new cars. Yeah, Belinda, yeah. Chris isn't here, but Chris just got a new car. Various ones, Pastor John just got a new car. So, you just got one the other day, truck, which you will keep at the speed limit, you hear me? Okay. I'm just saying what Dad says, and Mama too. But, so you get a new car, you go, well, how do they get a new car? Hey, stay in line. You guys got a new car not that long ago. Stay in line. Stay in line. Stay in line. You got a new one. Yeah, yeah. Stay in line. New car? Andrew, yeah. So that's right. And you got that new Jeep not that long ago. Stay in line. Don't get out of the blessing line. It's not about who's there now. Just be happy for people. Amen. Don't get jealous of stuff. Don't do that. No, 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 no. Who knows? The Lord could tell them to give that car to you. You get mad, and that'll never happen. I guarantee you that. I've given a car away already. Sure. Somebody's going, Lord, tell them. Just tell them. Who knows? Who knows? Amen. Thank you, Lord. So are you wanting the Lord to rule in the hearts and lives of people and not just in your own heart? It's not just about you. Amen. Hunger and thirst, that is a desire above all else for righteousness. In other words, you should want the Lord to have opportunity to, in fact, reach the lost. And he's going to use you and he's going to use me. But, you know, we need to be available. And so let's be available. Amen? Amen? So let's go back to Luke 19 quickly. We're just going to jump through this phrase that Jesus used for the Son of Man, Son of Man. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, just make note of this. Jesus is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God. You remember that. That's who he is. Jesus is the physical presence of deity in the earth. Jesus was and is God in the flesh. You remember when he raised up from the dead? Do you remember? They didn't see a ghost. They thought maybe it was. And Mary presumed it was the gardener. And he said, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to the Father. You remember that? But then at the next time when he came, he walks through the wall. And then he says, because Philip wasn't there the first time. Thomas, I'm sorry, not Philip. Philip wasn't there either. And Jonah was not in the ark. He was in a boat, but it wasn't the ark. So, yeah, you know, Jonah was on that shipwreck in Acts 26 or no. It's 28. No! So where were we? I didn't get enough sleep last night. Thomas was not there. And so when Thomas wasn't there, Jesus comes back another time and shows up. And what does he say? Thomas. Because remember, Thomas said, I won't believe this. I can touch the nail prints. And he goes, go ahead, touch, touch. Don't be unbelieving. What was he going to touch if Jesus didn't actually have a physical body right there? He did. That's why I say one day you and I are going to have those bodies that are resurrected. There won't be any blood in you. That's okay because the glory of the Lord, it's all we need. Thank you, Lord. But touch and feel his body. Jesus was God in the flesh and still is God in the flesh. Has a redeemed body even at this moment. Thank you, Lord. And those are still visible, obviously, in him. Thank you, Lord. But Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. Son of Man is Hebraic. Now that very term stresses his humanity. Son of Man. People say, well, he's the Son of God. Son of God was a Hellenization or a Greek rendering of the Hebrew Son of Man. So he calls himself the Son of Man. Daniel 7 verses 13 and 14 speak of one coming like unto the Son of Man. And that's who it's speaking of. It's talking about Jesus in Daniel 7 verses 13 and 14. So I want you to understand that he, when he proclaims this, that verse in those two verses there in Daniel tie in the fact that this is the one coming who is, in fact, the Messiah. Okay? Okay. All right. You ever stand against a wall and throw a ball and it just keeps coming back to you? You guys don't get what I'm saying. It's okay. It's okay. All right. He is come. So the Son of Man is come. He was not forced or compelled, but he came of his own volition. So I tell you something, that those who don't believe in the birth of Christ being supernatural surely don't believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, and that he's alive today and that you need to receive him in your heart as Lord. So when we start with this birth, it's a supernatural birth. The Son of Man has come. Now you say this isn't really in Luke 19 talking about his birth. Well, it surely was not in that respect, but it is pointing to the fact of why he was born or came into the earth. And that was to seek and to save that which is lost. In accordance with that, those two verses that we read out of Ezekiel 34, verse 11 and 12, and Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14. John 3:16, what does the Bible say there? Do you know? For God so loved the world that he gave or delivered. What does a woman do when she is with child at one point? What happens when that day comes? She delivers. God so loved the world that he, literally it reads, that he delivered his son. Ooh, ooh. Delivered him into the earth. He was born of a virgin. Micah 5, verse 2 speaks of that. Jesus was born of a virgin. We are so grateful for him coming. He had every opportunity in the world to sin, but yet he didn't sin. He came to give life in abundance. John 10:10 refers to that. Now, he came to seek and to save. So to seek, what is this? It's interesting when we observe the life of Christ and you look at how often he sought for the souls of people. He went after people, and he was involved in ministering to him. What we read about is not his little hobbies that he had. You know what I'm saying? Well, Jesus got all caught up in woodworking. And Jesus sat down and whittled arrows. And Jesus sat down and carved furniture for his mama. That's very nice if he did, but we don't read that. We don't read about the things Jesus was always ministering to somebody, and that's what we read about. He's always teaching and explaining the scriptures and bringing things from the Old Testament and hinting at Old Testament scriptures of how he is the fulfillment of those things. And again, Israel missed it. Israel missed it back then. Many of them are missing that today, but the type and how Christ fulfilled all the types. Oh, it's magnificent. That's what we were doing the other night. Amen. When we celebrated the Feast of Dedication, Festival of Lights. It's not about all the stuff that you do. It's about Jesus, the light of the world, coming into this earth. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's what you need to get from that. He is the light. God is light. The Lord kept bringing that scripture to my mind last night, that our God is a consuming fire. What does that fire do? Ooh, man. That fire is like the prophet said, who was it, Jeremiah? There's a fire shut up in his bones, or was it Isaiah? That was Jeremiah, wasn't it? You say, what is this, a Bible quiz? No, not really. I had Jonah in the ark, you know. Just be careful. So it's Jeremiah. Thank you. He had a fire shut up in his bones. Do you have a fire shut up in your bones today? If it's in your bones, then when you lay hands on the sick, they recover. When you speak that word, it comes out of your mouth. Man, it's like a sword, and it'll tear the enemy up. Amen. When you speak to your finances, what do you say over your finances? I have found, the Lord ministered this to me the other day about folks that get all bent out of shape about prosperity. And there are some people that get bent out of shape about it. Oh, it's a prosperity church. Well, I surely don't want them calling it a poverty church, that's for sure. So, yeah, I believe in prosperity because I serve the King of Kings. He's the richest Jew there ever was. So, yeah, well, you that prosperity thing. So if they come against prosperity, they have to come against prosperity because at the root of it is they need to tithe and they know it. And so if you come against prosperity and say, that's none of that, that isn't of God, that's not, that leaves me off the hook to ever have to sow a seed or help anybody out. Just saying. So I think, you know, somebody said to me one time, well, you know, Christians ought not to be rich. I said, well, so the devil's crowd should be, right? They ought to have everything, and the Christians ought to be the beggars and the poverty mindset people, those that are just so messed up and can't afford to even pay attention. And so that's what Christians ought to be, right? I said, that's a horrible visual representation of come with me and I'll show you a way into new life. Really? I got a whole lot more than you've got. Why do I want what you have? Well, it's a spiritual thing, brother. I understand that. I understand that. But you and I are ambassadors. We are ambassadors. Carry yourself with the dignity that an ambassador should possess. Not arrogance. But you are called of the Lord to be an ambassador in this earth. Every last one of you. That is not reserved to a handful of people. Be the kingdom in the earth. Let people see Jesus in you. Serve him. Don't serve finances. Serve him. Don't serve things. Serve him. Don't be caught up in the greedy lifestyle that so many people walk in these days. You can have a bunch. Be generous. Amen. Can I hear another amen?
Amen.
Amen. Ooh, now that's what I like to hear. Amen. He has come to seek. So again, Christ was constantly doing this. And here's something that folks sometimes lay off on the pastor. You notice Jesus didn't beg people to follow him? You notice that? He didn't beg. Come on. Come on, man. Follow me. You remember what happened when some of them turned away? He looked at the 12. He said, you going to go too? He wasn't going, oh, please don't leave. Don't leave. I don't know what I'll do. I won't have a following. Where will I go? People will laugh me to scorn. Don't you leave too. I told you in the Bible, that's one of the saddest verses when they all turned and walked away from Jesus. After he called himself the bread of life, and they're like, ooh, we got to eat him? What is this, cannibalism? What are we talking about here? Again, type, anti-type. So, Jesus didn't beg people to follow him. Jesus didn't beg them to come. He didn't even beg this guy right here, Zacchaeus. He didn't beg him. He invited him, but he didn't beg him. I'll tell you what. That's the thing. Sometimes pastors get laid on them. Well, you need to chase people down, hunt them down, harass them, harangue them, go after them to get them in the church. Oh, that's real attractive. You're coming to church with me. No, I'm not. You know, that would work just fine, wouldn't it? You know why? You know why? It has to be a heart decision. If it's not a heart decision, you can make people do some things for a little while with a little guilt and all that kind of thing. But we don't play that game. It has to be in your heart. It has to be in your heart. Can I hear an amen? That's right. It needs to be in your heart. It needs to be in your heart. I can tell you to read your Bibles. I can tell you to speak the word. I can tell you to get mad at sickness and disease like I did and do. I can tell you to do this, do that. Until it's in your heart, you're doing it. It isn't going to work. So you got to take time to get it down in you. Amen. I feel like I haven't preached in a long time. Well, you've preached a long time, Pastor. Matthew, write this down. Matthew 18, verses 10 through 14, Jesus makes again the same statement about the Son of Man coming to seek the lost, seek them out. That's in Matthew 18, verses 10 through 14. I mentioned to you Matthew 6, verse 33. Put that down as well. We are also commanded to seek. Seek what? Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first his righteousness. Amen? That is actually talking about a walk of holiness. Did you know that? It's actually talking about a walk of holiness. Seek first his rule and reign. That's the kingdom. Seek that first. Seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, have first place in my life. I want you to have first place in my life. I've got to stop taking the reins and taking command and control of my life. I want you in charge. So when we let him have charge, then we also, on right on the heels of letting him have charge, you need to address the subject of holiness in your life. Some Christians get the idea, well, I'm saved, I'm born again, I can live as unholy as I want. No, no, no. Well, you can, but the wage of sin is still going to be death. Oh, I go to hell for doing this? Don't. Why even go there? Why would you even want to be able to find out what you can do and still go to heaven? That reveals the heart, doesn't it? Well, if I don't inhale, if I don't actually have sex, it's just a little playing around. If I don't, I only snorted in one nostril. I feel like they're closing off my water area here, you know. It's okay. I love having the singers over here and over here too, and it's good. Thank you, Jesus. We just need a bigger area up here. You know, when we built this place, we should have built the stage bigger. Well, amen anyway. It's just me. So. A little late now, isn't it? Yeah, a little late now. And it was a good size. It was bigger than the stage we had before, so we thought it was big. That's a big stage over there. That's good. So we're supposed to seek first the kingdom and his holiness, that walk of holiness. When you're seeking him and you're desiring to walk holy before him, oh, man, Paul said, be ye holy as I'm holy. He didn't say, go sow your wild oats all you want, and all the blessings of God will continue to flow in your life. It does not work like that. You mean I'm into works? Let me tell you something about works. There should be things that you do in your life that say, I am serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that by doing those things you're saved. It's just a natural occurrence for somebody who loves Jesus to worship him, to read the Bible, to pray, to go to church, to live holy. I didn't say that you may not stumble and fall in your life at some point. I wouldn't look for the opportunities. But if you do, there is forgiveness. But it shouldn't be with the idea that, oh, I'll just sin and just do it anyway, and I'll say I'm sorry, and then I'll go on and do it again next week if I want. No, that shouldn't be the attitude. Amen. I think it's too warm in here. I think we need to cool it down so you guys wake up. I'm almost done. He came to seek and to save. He came to save. He came because there was something precious to save, something infinitely precious in his sight. God thought enough of his creation to make them in his image and his likeness. So he certainly would do everything possible to save them. 2 Peter 3, verse 9 reads that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh my, that which was lost. He came to save that which was lost. He came to save those that were lost. The scripture speaks of who's lost. Man's lost without Jesus. Amen. I mean, he's lost without the Lord Jesus Christ in his heart. See, and you've heard me say this many, many times. We need to be believing God for the nations. Don't think that, you know, we need to believe and bless Israel, and we ought to just condemn those that are in Muslim nations to hell. They need Jesus too. Thank you. So does Israel. So do the Americans here. I mean, everybody needs Jesus, and nobody gets a free pass to heaven without him. Now, there's a popular doctrine floating around. Israel get in no matter what they do. That's wrong. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. It's really that simple. I had this discussion with a person who is traveling and preaching in places and working with Jewish people, and it's a wonderful thing. I love the ministry. But they were telling me, well, Israel's a special entity. Those are people, okay, that need Jesus. In fact, please stand to your feet. In Romans chapter 10, and I would encourage you to go and read Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Paul is praying that Israel will be saved. He's praying that they would come to know Jesus. They need to accept Yeshua. They need to accept Jesus into their hearts. I had a guy get mad at me one time. What are you saying? I said, you heard what I said. I'm just saying what Paul said. Obviously, Paul's believing for Israel to be saved because Israel needs Jesus. And it's in that same context of that chapter that he talks about believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And you can read down through and read into chapter 11 of Romans, and it's talking about the salvation of Israel. And it's not a done deal. It needs to happen. And we're believing God for Israel to come to Jesus. We're believing for America to come to Jesus. We are believing for Iran to come to Jesus. We're believing God for people that don't know him to know him. And the remnant that abide in those countries, that they would have a profound effect upon the others. Thank you, Lord. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Can I hear an amen? Amen? It really is. And whether you said amen or oh me, it doesn't change the fact. So be believing God. Don't leave the people that are, caught up in serving and worshiping in mosques and don't believe in Jesus. Don't just not pray for people like that. There's a lot of people in the world that need to know Jesus of all different backgrounds and in all different nations. So it's very important. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, not just his favorite people, not just the favorite ones. That's not what it's about. He came to seek and to save everybody that needs a Savior, and that's all of mankind. So praise God for that. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We have received Jesus into our heart. I know of most everybody in here. And Father, we thank you for that, and we praise you for that this day. We give you glory that we'll be those witnesses of yours, ambassadors that will share the message, that have the King living and dwelling in our hearts. We'll share the message of faith. We'll share the message of the word. We'll share the message of Jesus and allow you to bring them into the kingdom. We thank you for it. Praise you for it. Give you glory for it today in Jesus' name. Let me see your hand if you do know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've been born again, so I know just about everybody has. That's good. That's good. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Lord. Come on, I've got a prayer.